Am I on? Yeah, okay. Good morning. It is good to be here this morning. Thank you, Matt, for leading out in those songs. I love our worship time. And thank you. I don't know why, but there's something about that that just thrills my heart every time. Okay, the passage I want to look at this morning is in Matthew 22. If I can find my papers here. I want to read in Matthew 22, 37 to 40. This has been burning on my heart for several months now. And I'm not finished processing this passage yet, because there are still things in this passage I have yet to learn. But I want to read it in Matthew 22, 37 to 40. And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And I'm gonna draw a diagram here, what I see in this passage. Now, I will admit I'm coming from a construction perspective, because that's what I know. So if you think of yourself a building, if you look at the end section, and you have a building like this, and you have a second floor, and you have two main beams in here. If you take those two main beams, what happens with the interior of that building? Real quick. It collapses. That's how I see this passage here, that the two main things in Christianity, one is to love God, and the other one is to love each other. He says on these two things, to love God, and it gives it with all your heart, soul, mind, and the other one's like it, to love each other. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. When I put that together, I call that the Bible. That's what I see in that passage. I also see this here as a book of love. And when I break this two apart, this here to me represents the part of the Bible that is talking about, telling us who God is, about God, his character, his thinking pattern, that part. The other one here, the law. And that in itself is probably the big one that I'm processing right now, because I always looked at law as this, that here is the standard. If you go past the standard, you get a consequence if you don't do it. I'm beginning to see another definition for that word law. And it's simply how life works. And I believe there's the two main things based off of this here I see in the scriptures. One part is telling us about God, and the other one is telling us how life works. And to make it practical in an everyday life, if you go back, let's go back in the early 1800s. And I don't know if we can imagine this or not, but let's try it. How would we respond if we were in the 1800s and all of a sudden there's a car parked in your driveway and you never saw something like this before? What would we do with that? The combustible engine was invented in 1876. So can you imagine all of a sudden in the 1800s when there was no engines whatsoever, and all of a sudden there's a car, and now you all of a sudden have to learn how to work this thing. And you never saw it before, you never processed it before, and how do you do it? Well, To us, it's very easy. You put gas in the gas tank. But how about if you never saw this thing before? You don't know how it operates. Well, it would be very nice to have either an instructor or at least an owner's manual. This here's what happened here. God gave us a book of love because he loved us, and he gave us an owner's manual how to live this thing called life. Now, blessings for us, there was people that came before us. But I think there's still things to learn in this book of love that we can apply today that we maybe missed. And I want to come back to this later, but what I want to start first off of is look at this one here. No, before I get there, I want to process something else first with you all. As some of you might know, I don't read very many books, but I have been reading one book of the history of the Amish and how they came from the Anabaptists to where we are today. And I realize some of this might be my own bias looking at it or the bias of the author, but there's one thing that stood out to me as I read that history, and that is it was pretty well around this here, the whole journey. Well, starting mostly from the, what intrigued me the mostly was probably about starting right around 1693 when there was a disagreement between two men. And out of that disagreement, the Mennonites and the Amish came out in 1963. But it was about this thing here. And what it appears like is this became number one. We have love God, number one, love each other, number two, and then number three is what I call the Bible, is to love that. But if you take this and you put it number one, things get messed up. It gets distorted. And when you have people that are raised under this book of law as number one, and all of a sudden they find this here, the love of God, the human tendency is get rid of this here. And I believe we're called to have all three just in their proper places. And if I want to use a car, for example, you use oil, you use gas, and you use water. All three are important. But if you put any of them in a place where you're not supposed to, you're going to have problems. And I don't think it's anything different here. We have three areas, but if we mix them up in a different order, it doesn't work correctly. If we make this number one, if we make the Bible number one above knowing God, and I believe the purpose of the Bible is to get us to know this here, but if we make this number one instead of this, we distort this here. So when we're working through things, I believe we have to process it in this order. Number one is, I'm just going to say we have a church issue for whenever you have humans, there's issues coming up. I believe the proper way is to, what is God telling us to walk through this? Are we extending love to our brother? And are we respecting this here? But if this here becomes more important than what God is telling us how to walk it through, it's probably going to come out distorted. So what I want to look at right here is, and I like to have some interaction here, is what does this look like to make this number one in our life? And I want you to be with me. I want you to process this with me, because this is something I am processing myself, and I am firmly believing that every one of these are important, but they have to be in the proper position. If it's not, Christianity does not smell, does not come out right. Things get distorted, things get disgusted, and people get turned off. So I believe this is important. So again, what does it look like to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and making this number one. What does that look like? Any thoughts? I'd like to have interaction here. If we could have, if you raise your hand, Alan will bring you the mic.
Just from my perspective, while the law is very important, I think that a lot of times it can be knowledge which is in our head. And unless we have the loving God as our foundation, which that's in our heart. And so that's a deeper part of our being. And so I think once we understand that God loves us and that we can love him and love other people from the deepest part of our being, I think out of that will flow living according to God's law and his principles. So, yeah.
Okay.
But just the difference between head knowledge and having it in your heart, I think, is kind of that connection.
Thank you. Anyone else have some input that we can give here? What does this look like to have this number, loving God, number one? You have something you want to share? Go ahead.
When you like, when you fear him, and then when you like fight temptations and stuff, it's just like you putting him first.
Okay. Okay. Very good. Thank you for that. Any more? Matt, over here, Seth. Seth.
I think it's interesting that he connected love God and love each other, because I think in a way I'm trying to come up with, but like how we love each other demonstrates how we love God, and I think symbol of putting others above me shows that I love God with all I have.
So what I hear you saying is how we demonstrate this is a reflection of what's going on here. Is that what I hear you saying correctly?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. I like that. Thank you for that. That there is correct. I believe you got a point there. Go ahead, ask that in the mic.
Is it possible to have one and not the other? Can we love God without loving each other? Can we love each other without loving God?
We won't let that die. But go ahead.
Yeah, mine's just back on the whole loving God thing. How does that look? And I view that kind of like a oneness in marriage. You know, for me, everything I do, if we're going to work or everything I do in my life, revolves around my family and my wife. You know, if I make a decision, I automatically think of how it's going to impact her. Pretty much in everything I do, I always think of how is it going to impact her in our relationship. And I think that's how a loving God looks as well, or should look, is that no matter what we do in life, as we go through life, everything that we do, we reflect on how is this going to impact my relationship with God. You know, how does this affect my love for God?
Okay.
This is how I'm automatically walking it out if we love God.
So I'm going to have somebody over here.
Maybe that goes hand in hand with what I was going to say, but that's exactly right, Dave, because I was looking at the verse again, and it kind of, I'm going to hit both of what you said and what Ernie asked. But love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. So it encompasses every part of us. Not just one part of it, but every. And so I like the way you said, how is it going to affect your family? Like you're looking at that side. It's the same way with God.
How will it affect our relationship?
Yeah, I love that. Now, going on what Ernie said, I don't think you can have one without the other, because here's what it says. The first and greatest. A second is equally important. In my opinion, you can't have one without the other. If they're equally important, you can't take one away, and it's not possible. If I'm understanding what they're saying, because they go hand in hand. We're not truthfully loving God, because that's part of who he is, if we're not loving others. That's what I see here, but maybe I'm seeing wrong.
And I believe when we distort this picture here in the wrong order, I'm highly suspicious that, and I'm not going to say all, but I'm suspicious a large percent of church splits come when this becomes number one. That's what I see. Now, I'm not going to say all, but I'm going to say a large percentage. The reason I'm wanting to speak in the mic, I'm assuming someone might be online listening.
That happens only because we're not loving God and loving each other with all our mind, heart, soul, and strength. Then we argue about these things of the law and the prophets.
Okay. That's something, yeah.
Some historical context, too. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. To this day, that's from Deuteronomy. To this day, the Jews say that twice a day. That's their verse that they claim. And that is actually, that's from the law. And Jesus comes in and he changes their verse that they say every day. A tradition that's been going on for thousands and thousands of years. And say, oh, I think we're missing something here. And so I find it very interesting that Jesus goes ahead and adds to it. You guys are missing another verse from Leviticus. And he says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I just find that very interesting. To this day, they still say that verse, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind.
Yeah, I really like the picture here that is forming here, is that these two are not separable. But that as you do the one, you will do the other. And how we love each other reflects on here, because this here is tangible. It is, we're around people. This here is more in the spirit, which is just as real, but it's not as tangible as me interacting with Dave. I mean, yes, I interact with God, but me interacting with Dave is a whole different sphere or realm of reality. Any other thoughts someone has?
So while that's in the spirit, I can tell, I should be able to tell, based on how you love the people around you, on how that relationship on the left is going there.
Right here.
By how we love other people becomes a physical gauge of how I love God.
Take that verse in John 13:35. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have loved one another. So what you said is exactly right. This is a gauge to discern how much of a disciple we actually are. And I believe we do very well at ingraining this in our system of reality. And that is, how we talk, how we process, how we view the people that are around us. This is a reflection of this.
1 John 4:20 says, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. Like, cannot love God. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must love their brother and sister.
So, as a body here, there is all kinds of different personalities. There's other world, different world views. We all had different journeys. But this here, and when I say love each other, I'm not saying that all of a sudden we become spineless. And anything that anyone says, we all of a sudden bend over. And we wave all over the place. But there will not, if we truly love each other, We will not slander. We will not gossip. We will not throw each other, so to say, under the bus. That would not be a part of us if this here is properly, if this is properly done, is that slander. Now, I don't think we have to go around and as quick as, well, Dale, I'm going to use you for example. As quick as Dale has an opinion, all of a sudden, because I love Dale so much, my opinion is nothing and his is everything. No, we stand, we process together. We don't go running, but we process together. We work through it till we come to agreement. And there got to be a way. And I have yet to really see this play out. But there got to be a way, if we love God and we're all saying we're connected to this, why do we run as quick as we don't agree with each other? That's our human tendency. I'm not pointing to anyone in here. But our human tendency, and I'm not saying I'm excluded from this, that when this becomes a struggle, we tend to run. That's our human tendency. And my appeal would be is that if we start to see things from God's perspective and start to see the value each other brings, I believe it makes it easier to work through our differences. So that's my appeal, that we try to see the value that each one brings. Now, I want to make another illustration here. I just thought about this right now. And when you see light in this perspective, it really adds a different dimension. The Bible says, I'm kind of pulling this out of my mind right now. I did not look at the verse. But what is that verse that says, one man shall put 1,000 to flight and 2 10,000? There's a verse similar to that. And what I see here is, this here is God. And we're zeros. Now, depending where you put the zero really makes a difference. If you put it here, or if we put it here. For me, this here is God, number one, and we add zeros. We add zeros. Every person in here, I believe, is another zero. Now, if one person decides to jump off, does it bring more or less value? Do we see the value every person makes? Or do we call them good riddance if they get out? If there's a division, every time there's a division, it puts a dot in it. And when you put a dot in it, what does it do? It lessens the value of the whole. I really like this, that we would see each other as a zero, that if we take the one away, how much we lose. It's not just a person, but we lose what? The part that God is training that individual adds to this. Now, just this simple dot right here, the value of that number majorly changes. May we see each other as a zero, that every one of us is needed. Because it doesn't matter if you have a whole line of zeros, where the position of that zero is. Every zero adds to the whole. I'm just going to be very practical. Dill, here, here, here. You switch them around or put them wherever you want to. It doesn't make a difference of the number. But you go like this. May we see each other, the value we all bring. to this journey called life. And to realize that life is greater than what we are. And that if we flow together, I believe the kingdom of God is designed not to live just like this. I don't believe the Christian life is designed like that. That it's just me and God. It's not that it can't happen. But if you want to be a part of a team, of an organization, let's see each individual here as another one like that. And another one like that. And when there's division, it goes like that. And we fight everything we can to keep that out of our group. Another part that I like to look at now is in John 14. And this is the only passage. And I'm not saying there's not more passages. And I'm bringing this out just because I do want your input. But I found one passage that gives us very clear instructions how to love God. And that is found in John 14:21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. It is he who loves me, and we be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And I started doing a little searching, and I found this one article. And I'm not gonna read this article. But it says 49 commandments of Christ. And I'm not so concerned about the commandments as I am about the attitude. How do we go to Scripture? How do we process Scripture? Do we process Scripture from the point of learning to know His commandments? Because here it says, if you love me, if we do this, we will keep His commandments. And yes, it is important because in this passage it says, he who has my commandments, then he puts ads on it and keeps them. It is he who loves me. So one is you got to know him. Two is you got to do him. What I see here is, in this part of keeping the commandments, is do we look at scriptures to find them, to discover what they are, or in our reading of scripture, when we see that, do we change the scripture to make it fit us? Or do we change to fit the scriptures? And I believe that is a key attitude of the difference. We all have Bibles, and I believe we all read the Bible. But what is our attitude when we find a commandment, and I'm not convinced that these 49 is all complete, that there's not more. I didn't do a lot of study. This is not my study here. And if someone wants this paper or someone wants this list, I can email it to you. I can give you this copy here. But these commandments, and I'll just go down real fast a few of them just to give you an idea of what it's saying. It says, repent. And then it has verses after each one. Rejoice, let your light shine, honor God's laws, be reconciled, do not lust, keep your word, go the second mile, love your enemies, be perfect, love the Lord, love your neighbor, await my return, be born again, keep my commandments, watch and pray. These are just different things that are in the scriptures that Christ commands us. And he says one of the gauges we have if we love God is if we keep these commandments. So to me is, I want to look at one step prior to keeping the commandments, and that is, what is our attitude of the commandments? When we see these commandments, how do we process them? Do we process them with delight and say, wow, I just discovered something I didn't recognize before, that I'm not keeping these commandments, I want to embrace this immediately? Or is our attitude, that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says this, this, and this, and this. And what we do is we went and shifted it so it fits our lifestyle. That's the challenge I want to bring to you is in the process of finding the commandments, when we find one, do we look at it with joy or do we go and change it so it fits us? Because the scriptures, there's a lot of interpretations that you can interpret different things different ways. And we can literally try to, I don't know why this is so real to me. It happened so many years ago, but I clearly remember talking with an individual. And he goes, you got to be like a lawyer. You got to understand what he's saying. And basically what he was saying was this, is he was adjusting scripture to make it fit who he is. And he said, you got to be a lawyer. I do not believe you need to be a lawyer to understand the scriptures. When we see something that we're not embracing, what do we do about it? And I believe that there is a reflection of how deep loving God is. It is based on our attitude of finding things in Scripture. I don't think I'm going to get started on my second part here because I could go a while in the second part. But I do want to sometimes look at this word law. Because this here, I'm going to be honest, I had a major change of perspective of this word law here that has really impacted me in a lot of different areas that I want to process as a group here, but I don't think I can do justice in 10 minutes time. But this word law, I started looking at it from a whole total different lens. And it's connected to what I shared earlier, that when I looked the law, it was always in my life's journey. It was connected to this idea that if I go 55, if the speed limit's 55 and I go 70 and I get caught, there's a consequence. That there's what changed for me. I look at it now as much more as this is how life works. And I believe there's a whole sermon I could preach right there that I will later. But is there anything else in what we were sharing, discussing today? We have 10 minutes yet. That you would like to process here in this passage. Okay, go ahead. Repeat that, please.
You asked the question of what it means for us to love God with all of our heart. So what does it look like for us to love each other? Is that just within the church context? Or is that... what does it look like once the LGBTQIRT comes in? What's it look like when someone who's totally opposed of God, what does that look like for us to love each other?
Okay, thank you for that. That there, we can easily fill up 10 minutes on that one there, or 15. But that is a very good one. Go ahead, have at it. Who wants to be first to share here? I will give a perspective about loving each other, and I'm going to go, Seth, to some of the very ones you brought out. Let's go to the LGBT, I don't know that big old line. Let's start with that. And the reason I am willing to look at that subject there is because it is very prevalent, and I believe... And I believe the what has made that group of people that are in that embrace that lifestyle, what made a lot of the hurt is they were hurting already, and then instead of truly loving them, we throw this at them. And it just cuts deeper. somehow we have to, when we see an individual, we have to divide that their actions from who they are. And to realize that them as a person is very near to this here. And it's very likely because of pain in their life that they have chosen the lifestyle they had. And by condemning that, it just gets distorted. And not taking in consideration who they are as a human being, that they want acceptance, that they want love, that they want to be accepted for who they are. You know, to what level can we go? I'm open to that. But somehow we have to love the person and separate the lifestyle. I feel that's important. And I believe as we love God, He's going to give us wisdom how to love and not love the sin. Somehow we have to separate that. Any more input?
Well, I instantly thought, well, loving the person, it reminds me of a parent's love for their children, right? Like if we have a child and they come to us and they ask us for, I don't know, just they're 6 years old, they want a gun. You know, it's actually very loving to say, no, not at all. You know, you're not getting that or something like that. There's nothing unloving about that. I think in just modern churchianity or whatever you call whatever's going on across the country, like I'll go by churches and you see these multicolored flags, right? And I kind of go, what's going on there? I mean, and I think part of it is just not understanding that you can love a person and you can say no. I mean, on many different levels. You can love a person, you can say, we care about you deeply, you know, the whole kind of, we would never let you starve kind of thing. But that doesn't mean we're going to actually validate your lifestyle. In fact, it could be unloving to just ignore it and just say, you know, it's a lot like a good relationship between a parent and their child. I think especially between parents and their children as they get older, like around, you know, their 20s, the parents have to essentially say, no, we're not going to do this and that next thing for you. You're an adult now. We'll love you, but that doesn't mean we're going to, you know, bail you out every time or this and that. There's a lot of different things there I think are really parallel to the whole whatever's going on across our country right now.
Okay. Anyone else have some input over here?
When I think of loving each other, we also have to look at the three faces of God, which Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and each of them, do they love differently? And I think they do. I think of the Holy Spirit, I think of Comforter. I think of Gentle. I think of the Father, I think of the just, Righteous Judge. I think of Jesus, I think of the Intercessor. And so if we're going to love people, the way we love people is based on our relationship with God and our understanding of God and who He is, and understanding those three aspects of God, and which of those hard love or gentle love that we're supposed to bring at the moment.
That's called revelation or wisdom, to know that every case, I am under the persuasion that there is not a textbook how to handle every case. Rather, I'm under the persuasion that every case is different. Every case has a set of its unique circumstances, that as we pursue this here, we will know how to properly love a person to bring them to repentance. And I believe every case is different, depending on their journey of life. Any other ways? How do we love each other? Or how do we love the ones we interact with? Because I believe there is times when it's called tough love. When it comes, you have to come across stern. There's times you got to come across gentle. There's times you got to come across appealing. It depends on the situation. Any more? Okay, I think I'm going to close with that, and I'll turn the time over to you, Dill.